top of the morning to you. That's right. This is your girl. You know, Fabulous Frida. Always your host till to bring you the most on WDGS on your podcast station. I tell you today, I want to share with you what the Spirit has to say. And that is, what you eat does not make me poop. Now, I know that's not a pretty topic, but it truly is a actual topic. No matter what anybody eats, and we can all eat the same meal at the same time, but that don't mean we all gonna go and release it at the same time and in the same way. What makes the difference from what one person eat and what one person release is your digestive system. How healthy is your gut? That's what do it. Let me tell y'all something. I got to talk to you about this because there are a lot of people that's caught up in thinking that you should be like somebody else. But you're not her. And you're not him. And just because you're not at that level, in that place of a her or a him, does not mean you're falling behind. You got so many people think that they're falling behind because they're not in the place of other people. They're looking around at what somebody else doing, what somebody else got, how they got it, when they got it, and how they brought people in a connection with them. Listen to me, but you got to realize and recognize what somebody else eat, and y'all could be at the same table. Don't mean that's what you gonna do when it's time for you to release, or if you gonna release the same time. And everything, I love this about Ecclesiastes. I love the book of Ecclesiastes. It reminds us that in everything, under the heavens, that's the word it said, under the heavens, there is a time and a season. It gives descriptions of things that are factual and actual. It says there's a time to live and there's a time to die. There's a time to mourn and there's a time to laugh. Oh, I'll put the quotes and put it in the description box where you can find it. I'm not going to sit here and quote everything. But what I do want to do is let you understand what you feed your faith. Oh, God, help me today. It's what's most important to your digestive system. What you feed your faith. I remember some years ago, I read this book. I can't remember if it's by Dr. Don Talbert, because he wrote a lot of books. He was a spiritual doctor as well as a licensed degree doctor. I'm not talking about some people that get a doctor because of some of the works they do. I'm talking about a doctor that went to college to become a doctor. A PhD doctor, a physician, let me put it that way, so people can distinguish, because now you know you got a whole lot of people trying to be a doctor, but they need to be worked on. I'm just saying. But Dr. Colbert, he was actually a licensed PhD physician. And I can't recall if he was a heart specialist or he was into gastroenterology, but I do know this. He also wrote a lot of books tailored around taking care of yourself. And one of the things in one of his books, he talked about feeding your body based upon your ability to absorb certain foods. And there were certain people that should only eat certain foods. And certain foods, certain people should not eat. For example, in my little research, when I start looking at the book, I saw the things that helped me most was a lot of greenery. Collards, broccoli, Brussels sprouts. Because it gave you a breakdown of foods that complement your body that makes you feel better. And to some people, it was cantaloupe. It was watermelon. And it was so amazing when I read, and it was based upon your blood type. Oh, I hope somebody grabbed this. So based upon my blood type, it gave a list of foods that should complement your digestive system. And it had nothing to do with what everybody else ate. Oh, God, help me today. And this is what I want to talk to you about. That's why I said what the next person eat. That don't have nothing to do with what you digest. And you got too many people want to be like her or be like him. And they want a recognition. Let me read something to you. I'm going to tell you what the Holy Spirit been and had in my spirit for a couple of days, right? So this morning, which is now, it's almost 3 a.m. in my demographic location and station. I said, okay, God, you keep bringing the same information to my mind. Have y'all experienced that? You know, when you keep getting the same information to your mind, sometimes it may be a song. Sometimes it may be a phrase. Sometimes it may be a quote that you read somewhere. And sometimes it may be something somebody used to say or still say to you. And it keep resonating in your ear, like it be ringing in your ear. Well, one thing that kept coming to me, and I'm telling you, it started last week. But I didn't sit down like I have this morning and look and see exactly where the scripture. But the scripture kept coming to me about the man in the costly arrays. Now, you may recall, if you heard yesterday's podcast, I talked about a man who was different because he was humbled to say he was a sinner. Now that scripture came to me as well as this scripture, what I'm about to share. But the Lord did not have me to release it until now. And see, this is where you got to get to come in and tune in and tap into your spirit. Everything God put in your spirit don't mean you got to act on it right then. Don't mean you got to do something about it right then. Sometimes you may just need to let it saturate and marinate and then ponder and pray over it and see how the Lord guides you with it. So God guided me this morning. He said, okay, now you need to release that scripture because you didn't look it up before now to know exactly where it was, because I had to take you through a process before I could get you to release it. I hope somebody grabbed this. So this is what the scripture says. Listen, you got to listen to me. It's in the book of James. I love the book of James, as a matter of fact. I love the entire book. It's a short book. I think it has only like 5 chapters, maybe. Don't quote me right yet, but I will definitely confirm it. But this is chapter 2. James chapter 2. And this is what it says. It says, my brethren, meaning male or female, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord of glory with respect of persons. Oh God, did somebody grab that? With respect of persons. At verse 2 it says, for if there come into your assembly a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gold ring and the goodly apparel. It's called in the Bible gay clothing. And you say unto him, sit thou here in a good place. And you say to the poor man, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. And ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts. Did you get that word? Evil thoughts. Hearken, the Bible say, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he has promised to them that love him. But you have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seat? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by thee which ye are called? If you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if you have respect to persons who commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressions, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, "Do not commit adultery," said also, "Do not kill." Now if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do, as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy. Oh God, help me today. I hope y'all grab what that means. That has shown no mercy, and mercy rejoice against judgment. What doeth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he had faith and have not works? Can faith save him? That's a question. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily bread, and one of you say unto them, "Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled," notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needed to the body, what doeth it profit? Even so faith, if it has not work, it is dead, being alone. I want to put a pin right there, because this is the main thing I want people to understand on this podcast. You can be recognized, but if you are not recognized by God, you can be recognized by man. Let me put it that way. And meaning mankind. But then the Bible clearly says to us, I'm talking about what God's saying, none of that amounts to a hill of beans in the sight of God. If you are guilty and you have respect of person, you think because people dress up, fix up, and have money and status, they should be recognized more than people who are poor or who have less. That's a person who has respect of persons. But God wants us to all understand, in our walk as true believers, it's not about having respect of persons. It's about being kind and respectful to everybody. Whether it's somebody who looks good and dressed in fine clothing, but you don't get to dictate in the realm of religion what's right if you tell people to mistreat people because they have less and to look upon people because they have more as they are better. Because clearly what the scripture says, nobody is no better if they still commit the same sin. Hello. That's what it means by. So if even if a person have on these costly arrays and they being recognized for how they look and present themselves, but the Bible said, but yet they sin And they may not commit adultery, but he said, but if they kill, they still are wrong. You know, I talk a lot about doing the right thing and being right. And I have expressed the reason why. Because we all will stand in a judgment before God. And when that time and that day comes for me, I don't want to be guilty of having somebody else's blood on my hands. And this is what Ezekiel wanted people to understand. He had to tell people the truth. Even though they didn't want to hear it, they didn't like hearing it, but God gave Ezekiel that assignment because he told him that he didn't want blood on his hands. See, one thing about walking this walk, God assigns people to different assignments. This is why you got to understand what it means when the scripture says that we all have different body parts. We know this, our own self. The legs have different designs to do things than the arms. And the head have different things to do than the mouth and the eyes. But we're all on one body. Why? Because we all have use. So in my biblical assignment from God, mine is to release full-fledged truth. Now, some people, they body part an assignment may be to strictly encourage. Nothing else. You got some people that people can embrace them because they're constantly encouraging them. And that's what a spirit needs. But the spirit also needs the truth. Oh, God, help me today. Because the truth is what's gonna make you free. The truth is gonna make you and prepare you for heaven. The reason why I say that, because there is going to be no liars in heaven. Unless God is a lie. Now, according to the word of God, he said he is not a man that should lie. So if God don't tell lies, this is what the Bible says. All liars, y'all need to grab this. All liars, not some, all liars have their place in the lake of fire. That's hell. That's why it's not good to tell lies and fan flies. Fanning flies is fine, but telling lies is not good. And you got some people, why they fan flies, they steady telling lies. You know what that mean, right? People be standing around in the yard, you know, sometime, and they fan flies, why they tell lies. They'll be out there. If what it takes to get people attention and to draw attention to themselves, they'll tell lies. I'm just saying. And so this is where you got to be mindful and careful about people self-seeking being respectful. Are they being respectful because how they want to appear at themselves to be like the man in the Bible, in the book of James? Or even if they poor, are they being respectful or being respected because they are a human being? And the Bible said God has no respect of persons. God don't look at doing more for rich people or educated people. What God looks at is righteousness. Who right? That's why what you eat, I don't digest. Because I want to digest doing what is right. That's what I want to feed my spirit. I want to feed my body. Mind and spirit was right, naturally as well as spiritually. Now, the question is, do you carry that spirit? Will you only think you're impressive because you're trying to please people? Because what you eat, you want to digest it like other folks? Let me just share with you something else from a magazine. What will you feed? What will you feed yourself? What will you feed other people? Well, one thing you should do is feed gratitude. You should always be grateful, regardless of what I just finished reading in the book of James, regardless of where you are, regardless of what you have or what you don't have. People are trying to keep up with the Joneses and the Kardashians and anybody else they feel that impresses their lives, even though them people may not be living holy. Hello. It's good for people to glean, to gather, to grow. But it's also good to have gratitude. And that's be thankful. And you got a lot of people try so hard to be like other folks. And they lose sight of being grateful. The greatest thing about gratitude, in my opinion, paraphrasing with the scripture, if you know you living in sin and you know you a sinner, then get somewhere and be grateful. Get somewhere and be patient. Get somewhere and be compassionate. Get somewhere and be forgiving. Get somewhere and be encouraged. Encourage to have hospitality. Let me tell you something. Recently, I got to tell you this. Somebody transitioned that I'm acquainted with. And when the person called me to share with me this person transitioned, my immediate response was this. Oh, I thank God that the blood was not on my hands. The reason why that just come in my spirit because I never expected that person to not be here today. And so often we expect that. We expect to live to see tomorrow. We expect the people that we know to live to see tomorrow. Even if we don't love them, we expect to, we know them. And so this particular individual, when I say that, it's because God had graced me with several opportunities to feed their faith. And I would feed their faith to come out of living in adultery. Now, even though they never had the opportunity to do that before they transitioned, that's not for me to judge. Because the Bible says that when a person transitions, whoremongers and adulterers, God is going to judge. But this is the thing. It's throughout this Bible, thou shalt not commit adultery. It's one of the 10 commandments. So there were other opportunities. And even the person themselves said to me, because they addressed me as Pastor Afrida. They said, I know what you're going to say the last time we talk. I said, no, you don't. What I'm going to say? I know you're going to say something to me again about living in adultery. I said, no, not this time. Because I've said it enough. And I've made it perfectly clear enough. And if you decided to keep living in that condition, that's between you and God. But little did I know that a few months later, that person living in the same situation just fell at the table. So I was told. Just abruptly. No long-term sickness, no tragic accident, no nothing. Just sitting at the table from breakfast. And it's a very very sensitive, heart-touching thing. And I tell you why. Because that was a sweet, sweet, kind spirit. Listen, y'all got to grab this. Listen to what I just said. I know this person. If they could do anything to help anybody, I don't think they would ever reject them. And they didn't. And this was a person that helped people, and I never heard them murmur, complain, never about who they help. But yet, you must ask yourself the question, because they went against the commandment. Where do they soul rest? That was my question. Even though I don't have no heaven or hell for it to concern me, but it does because of my heart of compassion. It concerns me because I'm a Bible believer. It concerns me because I love that person. And one thing about loving people more than anything, I remember my cousin used to tell me the same words. She said, I love you so much, I want you to go to heaven. She said, Alfreda, I love you. I don't want you to die in your sins and be lifted, your eyes in hell. See, that's how they used to talk to me. they dance around the issue and dress it up and make it sound cute to be encouraging. She just told me flat out and straight out. I was dating this guy. I wasn't committing adultery. I was committing fornication. And every opportunity she had to talk to me about that relationship, she would bring it up. And I listened humbly and respectfully. I never challenged nothing she said. You know why? Because I know it was the truth. This is what I don't understand about people who think they want to go to heaven and don't like the truth. I never once told my cousin, I don't want to hear that. I never once told her, well, I'm tired of you bringing this up. I never once challenged her to come back and clap back. I sat there humbly and I listened and absorbed. And because I had known from a teenager what she was saying was the truth in my walk with God. That's why I get perplexed with these people that think they all of a sudden, oh, they need an awakening. Awakening? Didn't you learn as a teenager? Didn't somebody teach you? Aren't you teaching your own children? It's a sin to shake sheets and you ain't married. Who don't know that? And then people, I had to get old enough to get awakening. Oh, serving the same God? Who mama didn't teach them not to steal? I'm just saying, who needs an awakening for stuff you already been taught from a child? It's just the people hard-headed and stiff-necked. That's what Ezekiel had to tell people. And God said, don't worry about what they face look like. In other words, don't worry about how they gonna feel about what you say. He said, because I'm going to tell you before you even tell them. They hard-headed and they stiff-necked and they still are not going to change even when you tell them. But to get the blood off of your hands, you still got to tell them the truth. That's my assignment. See, John's assignment was to baptize people. You got to study the Bible. If you ever notice, John didn't do too much of nothing but baptize. That was his main assignment. That's why I say, people, you got to know who you are. And you can only know your assignment when you know who you are. And you won't try to be like her. And you won't try to be like him. You'll try to be like your divine maker, purpose and plan for your life. What's your assignment? Then if you know, you notice Jesus. Jesus went out to teach and preach the gospel of the good news. He evangelized. He went all over, from on the boat, off the boat, in the mountain, in the wilderness. and he prophesied. He carried multiple titles. But when you think about John, that's why they call him John the Baptist. John could prophesy. John could pray. John taught his disciples how to pray. John could lead. But the greatest assignment John had was to baptize. Oh, God, help me today. This is why you got to know what your assignment is. And what place do you stand in? Because if you don't know, you'll be trying to follow after what you see other folks doing. I'm just saying. And that may not be your calling. Hello. Yeah. But I wanted to share with you about respect the person. Make sure you understand, as many times as often as you eat, what you eat don't make my stomach digest. And what I eat don't make you digest. And we can eat the same thing at the same time. Stop trying to be like somebody else. In other words, stop worrying about what somebody else doing, what they have and what they don't have. Find out what you supposed to do. What's your assignment? What should you be eating based on your blood type? Because everybody's blood type that differs may complement something different that you digest. And I'm here as a living witness, I could tell you. Collard greens really do. When they put that in that book, it really, even before I ever read that, collards, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, those three greeneries, all greeneries really, but those three in particular, they have always complemented my digestive system. Now, to somebody else, it may be cantaloupes. And this is the thing, I don't even like cantaloupes, never like cantaloupes. But for somebody else, it may be just what the doctor ordered to help their digestive system. I just want people to understand what's the greater matter in anything that I talk about is that having a love for God to go to heaven. And in the meantime, in between time of that time under the heavens, well, there's a time for everything. There's a time to be born, and there's a time to die. But in between time and in the meantime, what's most important is what you're doing. Everybody. This for everybody. What are you doing about your eternal life? That life, that part of your spirit, that life that's a part of your soul. And the Bible said that we should work it out in fear and trembling. You got more people that's more concerned with trying to keep up with somebody. That's what I just finished reading. Then that's what it means. Than to worry about getting their soul right. They can live and do so many sinful things instead of worrying about getting their soul right. They forget about the fact I'm a sinner. Let me just say this real quick. You know, I was saying to somebody last week, don't nothing vex my spirit more than when people know they wrong and they try to flex on you. Y'all know what that means. When you know you wrong, you know you foul, you know you filthy, and you trying to flex. Really? Get somewhere and get in right standings with God first. As a property manager for 20 years, I was in the business, just that career alone. And I would tell people when they got ready to sign their move-in paperwork, well, some people I told when they came for an application. They'll come in for an application, it's amazing. You know, I have also a child that was in the business, and sometimes we chit-chat about how our culture, and I want to stress our culture, we can release and divulge so much information sometimes at the wrong time. So when people come in to get an apartment and they put in an application, you know, you ask them the question generally how many will be in the household. And they'll generally tell you one adult, they apply for one adult, and how many children. But they'll sit there and say one adult, but they'll start talking and telling you about their boyfriends. I don't have it happen many times over 20 years. So, you know, my ears are tuned to receive. And so if they keep talking about their boyfriend too much and what he going to do and how he going to help, you know, then I got to ask the question, well, will he be living with you? Because what the lease says is anybody 18 or older residing in that apartment, they need to put in a separate application and pay the application fee, and we will do the credit and the criminal background. Well, you know, generally what they say is, oh, no, he ain't gonna live with me. No, ma'am. Or it be some single men, and I ask them the same question. They, oh, no, ma'am, Miss Frieda, no, she ain't gonna live with me, okay? I said, well, let me tell you this, because I've been young, and I've dated. And I don't like people, I don't like having to ask people questions that position them where they have to tell lies, okay? So let me just say this. I am not a relationship police. I'm not going to be peeping and looking and digging and investigating to see if somebody do come to live with you. But I will say this much. If you got somebody there, keep them on the down low. Oh, I kept it 1,000 with them. Do not. I said, listen to me, y'all. Do not. And I'm telling you, I had that conversation when I say with many single people came through the door to apply. I said, do not flex your boyfriend. Now, one thing about it, because I had more single women than single men, but I told them the same thing, vice versa gender. I said, let me tell you something. If the popo got to come out here because they act up and act out, that's going to be a violation of your lease. Whatever they damage, you will be responsible to pay for it. Oh, they know me. Frieda just kept it real with them. I said, I don't expect you, young lady, you single, to not mingle. But I'm just saying, if he move in, you best keep him on the down low. Do not, please, send him to the office to put in a work order. That's a no-no. Do not send him to the fitness center or the swimming pool without you. That's a no-no. So all I'm saying, if you gonna violate, if you gonna be in violation of the lease, don't flex it and flaunt it in the face of the property manager, the assistant manager, or the maintenance. I ain't just leave it to me. I left it to all of us. Because see, if you gonna do some things and you know you're out of order, all I'm saying, do it decent and in order. Don't be trying to flex something in our face when we know it's wrong. Now, I said all that to say this. I feel the same way about people who say they Christians. And now, if you say you a Christian, and you say you a godly person, and you want to be recognized among believers and in the group with the Christian people, then listen, don't be flexing when you know you're shacking. Don't be flexing when you know you're stealing. Don't be flexing when you know you're full of covet. Don't be flexing when you know you're a big liar. I'm just saying, that's the part that vexed my spirit about people. Don't flex when you all out of order, when you know you're not decent and in order. And I'm going to tell you something. I feel that way about people who love to say they love everybody. Stop telling lies and flexing you love folks, but then you the first one to fall out with folks. You hear some, you fall out. You don't know, you don't want to even help nobody because they said something that you didn't like. But you will be the first one. I love everybody. Really? Huh? But then let God tell you, okay, I want you to bless that person. I want you to do this. I want you to do. And the first thing people going to think about, oh, not after what they said. Not after what I heard them say. Oh. But you love folks. The Bible said that if you love God even, you will obey his commandments. That's why I say, when I say 90% of the people tell a lie when they use that word. Because there's so many people say they love God, but they definitely do not keep his commandments. So make it match and make it make sense. That's all I'm saying. Tell me how you think that's supposed to work. That you can disobey God and say you love him. Now, you done rewrote a new scripture, because I haven't read that one. That's all I'm saying. What you eat don't make me digest. And that's a whole lot of stuff people do I don't digest. Because I'm just trying to figure out and find out how all the married people in the world, and I ain't talking about marriage because somebody say they married. I'm talking about marriage because they abided by the laws of the land. That's what segregate people with the Social Security. Okay, because Social Security will know if you married, then that means if something happened to the person you married to, you can go and draw Social Security from them. So if you can't do that, according to the laws of the land, you're not married. Hello, I'm just saying, you got to legitimize it. So and it's not back in the old days before there was a law of the land that said that, because people like to say, well, in the old days, people were married when they slept together. Well, that was the law of the land back then. Hello, dum dum da dum dum. They didn't have to go to the magistrate court. So the law of the land back then was that's the way you consider sealed in marriage. But the law of the land is not that way now. Because if that's the case, we all will draw Social Security from everybody we done slept with. Hello. And that's not the law in the United States. That's why the Bible said the laws of the land. Because over in Egypt, the law may be different. But over in the United States, the law says that in order to be considered as married, a justice of the peace must sign off on your marriage certificate. You can get married standing in your living room, but if a judge ain't signed off on it, a justice of the peace, it's not legitimate. I'm just saying. Every person that I've had to quote the vows to get married, they still had to go to the justice of the peace and legitimize it. In order for Social Security, then you got to change your driver's license. I'm just saying. These things are required by the laws of the land. And when I first got married, see, I had to go get into a place of faith. I had to trust God. Because at the time I married both times, I had some government benefits that I ain't want to let go. But I end up letting them go, and God provided. Well, the first time I was tricked, so I ain't have a choice. I ain't know I was finna get married that day. But still and all, and I was working at Geico, so I wasn't getting no. Yeah, I was where I lived. I was living in some apartments where, yeah, it made a difference when you added a person to your household. And the second time, same rule applied. I wasn't getting no food stamps or no check or nothing like that. But I was getting assistance in my dwelling, in my living. And I had to lose that benefit when I got married. But the thing is, I did it the right way. That's all I'm saying. And when a person don't have a respect of person, then they don't mistreat people. They do things the right way. And it's not about whether or not somebody have on more costly clothes, drive a finer car, or live in a bigger or better house. All of us, when you say you a true child of God, you don't want to mistreat anybody, even a poor person. That's the moral to the message. That's why what a lot of people eat, I don't digest. Because I'm not into mistreating somebody just because another person drives something better, dress better. Everybody gonna be people to Alfreda. Because remember, my assignment, back in the days, it used to be what people used to call fire and brimstone preachers. But I'm not that bad. I am not preaching, breathing fire and brimstone. But I am letting people know that there are works of the flesh. Galatians 5th chapter, 19th verse. You should read them. And at the conclusion of that verse, it clearly states people who practice doing those works will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, what I suggest you do, because I do have a book that breaks down all those 17 works of the flesh. That's why I know it's 17 of them. But when you look at the word will not inherit, you should define inherit and see what that means. If you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God, that'll be on earth and in heaven. And this is why a lot of people end up in the situations that they're in, because they can't inherit what God say you can't have if you operate in these works of the flesh. I'm just saying that what God say. And on that note, may the blessings from heaven flow down into your lives, meet all your needs, even the things your heart desires. And may you continue to prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prosper. And until the next podcast upload, God bless and bye for now.